Now, again, we just welcome everybody who is here. You all know you're here to witness the baptism of Miss Anna McMullen, Miss Naomi Blair, Mrs. Rosie McNeil, and Mrs. Rebecca Caldwell. And I thought it was very, very apt. Some of us had the privilege of hearing each of these sisters give their testimony to us and telling us how they got saved. And as our brother who has just spoken to us in the gospel, that I think nearly all of them, Anna was maybe six, and the rest of them were all around seven whenever they got saved. And now this afternoon they are going to be baptized. And we're just going to hand the meeting over now to our brother Paul McMullen, who is going to speak to us about baptism from the scriptures.
Thank you, dear. I think nearly all I have to say is amen. Because if you'd listened to what's been said and sung, you'd have got the gist of it. But I'm not just going to say amen just yet. It's lovely to be here. Lovely to see you here. And you're here because you know one or more of those that are going to be baptized. And they appreciate your presence here today. Thank you for coming. David has said baptism. It's a baptism service, this. Here's a tank of water. And after a while, I'm going to go down into this tank. I'll go in first. And then one after another, Anna. I'm granda when it comes to Anna. She said, I wanted my granda to baptize me. Anna's going to come out. And then after her, Naomi is going to come out. Then after her, Rosie's going to come out. And then Rebecca. They're going to come up the steps down there. And I'm going to immerse them one by one. Raise them up. Help them to turn around. They'll be nervous and walk out of the tank. But what's it all about? I mean, you're entitled to an explanation. You're entitled to know why we do this today. And I want us just to engage our brains for a wee while. And I'm going to try and point you to what the Bible says. Bible says it. I also was welcomed into the houses of these folks. They told me their stories, and I told them all a little verse, same verse I read to each of them in their houses, and they know the verse I'm going to quote now, because this is part of the secret to what we're doing here. We're going to learn what the Bible says, and the wee verse I read to them all was this. It's the words of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, to the servants on the event of his first miracle, when he turned the water into wine. She said to the Lord Jesus, we have no wine. And he said, leave that to me, that's not for you. And she turned to the servants, and here's what she said to the servants. She said, whatever he says to you, that was the Lord Jesus, whatever he says to you, do it. That's my advice. I want to turn to the Bible. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll have to watch the clock. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to read a brief summary of the gospel message, because the gospel and baptism are linked, as we're going to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to read part of some verses, because there's quite a few verses I want to read. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Near the end of verse 3. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, back to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Here, this is the instruction of the Lord Jesus we're going to read. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Verse 18 maybe. Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that was his disciples. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The Gospel of Mark says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts chapter 8. There's four places I'm going to read. This is three of four. Acts chapter 8. This is a real world example of someone getting baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. It's about a preacher called Philip and the man he was speaking to, an Ethiopian eunuch. And it says, and Philip the preacher opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. That's where they were reading in the Bible, the pair of them, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And finally, Romans 6. I left this to the end because this is baptism explained. The Apostle Paul's writing to people who have trusted the Lord Jesus. And some of them thought, maybe now that we're forgiven, we should sin a whole lot to give God the privilege of forgiving us a whole lot. An awful thought. Anyway, that's the background. Chapter 6, Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now that was a lot of reading. Thank you for your patience. That's all I want to read. According to the Bible, baptism is a symbol. And the value in it is what it symbolizes, what it means. That's the challenge I've set myself to communicate to you. It symbolizes something extremely important. Something extremely important to God. Something extremely important, of ultimate importance to Anna, to Naomi, to Rosie, and Rebecca. It symbolizes the most important event in life. But it was an event that only God could see. It was something that happened in their lives, But you and I couldn't have seen it, even we were right beside them. It was something that only God could see. But the Bible says, and we have read it, that there should be an event to show what happened so that you can see, so that I can see. And that event is baptism. That's what I want to talk to you about for a moment now. The question is, what happened? What happened that no one could see? Well, if you've been here a while ago and sat in our evening gospel meeting, you would have heard. But I'm going to tell you. To get the background, we've got to go back a long, long time. Away back before the world was made. Way back in eternity. And the God who planned this whole universe, and the God who planned the earth, and the God who planned humanity, and the God who planned you, he had a wonderful plan to provide a way that you and me could be in heaven. You see, long before the world was made, God knew what would happen. God made humanity. He made the first man, Adam. Adam was innocent. Adam had no sin when God created him. Adam sinned. That's the story of how sin came into our world. Before Adam sinned, God and Adam were friends. They enjoyed company and conversation every day. But sin entered and that stopped. But not before God had given Adam a kind warning. God had no need to. But God said, Adam, if you disobey me, that's called sin. And oh, Adam, God's heart was that Adam wouldn't do it, you know. I say very reverently, sin was never God's idea. Oh, Adam, don't do it. Adam did it. And God had told him what would happen. No, something died that day. His fellowship with God. Adam's fellowship with God. And Adam was put out of God's presence. And the tragedy of the story of history is this. That what happened to Adam was like poisoning a river at the source. It affected and affects all of humanity from then till now. Look at me, I'm one. I'm an awful lot older than I used to be, and that's the mark of it. It's affected you, and it's affected me. Sin came into the world. God said to Adam, oh Adam, sin must be punished. I'm a holy God. Sin is an offense to my character, and sin must be punished. Adam was put out of God's presence, and there was nothing he could do about it. But I've said or I've referred to the fact that God made a plan in eternity, a wonderful plan. For he knew that that's what Adam would do. And that plan meant his son, his only son, the son of his love, his only begotten son, the eternal son of the eternal God. It meant him leaving heaven. He didn't have to, you know. But he left heaven out of love for humanity that he made who had sinned against him. He left it. And he was the little baby that was born in Bethlehem. God became man. And in all his sinless purity, for he could not sin, he lived a life on this earth for 33 years that pleased God absolutely. He never made a slip. He never had a word he had to recall. He never had to say sorry. He couldn't. He could not sin. And at the end of that perfect life that pleased God absolutely, the centerpiece of the plan was this. He would die on a cross. Totally undeserved. Totally out of love for those who deserved his judgment. I'll tell you the best bit of it. He was there for me. You see, I'm a guilty son of Adam's ruined race. And on Calvary's cross, he bore the judgment that God required for Paul McMullen's sin. That's why I love him tonight. I love him for the suffering he endured. I love him for the fact he did it for me. I trust him, and he's my Savior. The greatest thing in life, that was God's plan. I was only a wee boy when I trusted him. I didn't understand a big lot then, and not a big lot yet. But I know this much. It thrills me every day. 10,000 charms around him shine. But best of all, I know he's mine. And you see, God provided that way. According to a plan he laid, in all eternity it was in his mind, but it was worked out at the cross. And the central event of world history happened at Calvary. But not only did he die, friend, he rose again. You see, death entered because sin entered. The Lord Jesus conquered sin at the cross. He died. He entered death. He tasted death. He suffered death. And he conquered death. And he is alive forevermore. And he guarantees, his endless life guarantees my salvation. One day he'll land me in heaven. It's no thanks to me. It's all thanks to him. Any wonder I love him? I wonder, is there anyone here today? Maybe I'm going off script. Wonder, is there anyone here today in the hall, young or old? And you've heard that story many a time. Maybe your heart's been touched by it. And you thought, I don't want to miss out. For the alternative is absolutely unthinkable. To suffer the judgment for my own sin forever under the holiness of a righteous God. Can I say tenderly, that's what it would be. If you say no, you say yes tonight. You could trust the Savior I love. You could say, he took my place. You'd be right. But if you simply trusted him for yourself, you could say, he took my place. And he died for me. I pray that might be the case at the baptism of these good folks tonight. But that was God's plan. And Anna and Naomi and Rosie and Rebecca, they took it for themselves. David referred to just as little children. They all were just as little children. And they took what God offered. I'll quote you a verse I learned at Sunday school. It says, he that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. That's what they did. I have to finish it. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that's what happened that nobody saw. That's what happened that only God saw. That's what happened to each of the four people who want to be baptized and are going to be baptized in a minute or two. I remember the day Anna got saved. She was telling me the other night again. She came out to get into the car to go to Sunday school with Daddy. And she announced to him, she says, Daddy, I'm going to pray. They were in the car. They're on the way to Sunday school. I was at Sunday school wondering if they were late. Most likely. In the car, she says, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to forgive a bad sin. David said to her, well, are you going to pray? He was taken aback. He said, are you going to pray inside or are you going to pray out loud? She says, I'm going to pray out loud. And she simply thanked the Lord Jesus for dying for her. That's all it took. She simply thanked the Lord Jesus for dying for her. She said, told me there was three very important people in her life, Daddy and Mummy and Auntie Joyce. Auntie Joyce is not her auntie. Auntie Joyce is her Sunday school teacher. But that's where she learned the choruses. That's where she learned the verses. That's where she learned the little lesson. The big lesson. I'm just a guilty sinner. She came into Sunday school and she had to go tell Grandad and Auntie Joyce. And she did. She told me the other night. She said, "Grandad, it's from the heart." Naomi told me, she said, "I remember," I wrote it down, "Mrs. Parks. Mrs. Parks was my Sunday school teacher when we lived in Ardmore. And she didn't just teach us verses, pardon me taking a moment, but this is personal, this is for these dear friends. She didn't just teach us verses, she made us colour them in. She says, I colour it in. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Naomi coloured it in. But it's not really the colouring that mattered. She learned the lesson. She needed one to die for her. One who had died for her. They moved to Ballymena. She was in Auntie Joyce's class too, I'm sure. And she learned the same lesson that Anna learned, and the same choruses. She knew she needed to be saved. What's that mean? I like to explain things. She knew she needed to trust the Lord Jesus. After she told Daddy and Mummy, the next person she told was her wee friend. She went and to visit Emma Duff the next day. And she told Emma, she told me the other night too, she says, "Emma, I was saved. I trusted Jesus." That was some conversation between two little girls. Rosie, she told me her story. She's Mrs. Rosie McNeil. I should give her full title. But Rosie told me her story. Rosie was a bit more like me. I remember as a little boy. One thing that struck my mind and was enforced itself on my mind, I knew that the Lord Jesus was coming again. Rosie knew about that. Rosie knew just as a little girl the Lord Jesus was coming back again. And he was only coming for those who belonged to him. He was only coming for those who had trusted him as Savior. Rosie knew she needed a Savior. But big sister Ruth got saved. And Rosie could hardly believe it. Big sister Ruth was saved and Rosie thought, "I need a Savior." And that spoke to her. And in her bed one night, she said, "I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for myself." You see, I can't get saved for you, nor you for me, nor Ruth for Rosie, nor Rosie for Ruth. She said, "I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for myself." She said more. She says, "It's never left me. All these years, it's never left me." Because she's more than just a tiny little girl now. She says, "It never left me." What about Rebecca? Rebecca told me, "I was in P4, she says, "when I got saved. I was 7 years of age when I got saved. And I simply asked the Lord Jesus to save me." That's Rebecca's testimony. But there's a wee bit more. Because she went into P4 the next morning to Mrs. Johnson in Brasheen Primary School. And she marched to her desk. And she says, "Mrs. Johnson, I've got saved." And maybe Mrs. Johnson didn't know what the child meant. Or maybe she just was checking for a reality. I don't know. And Rebecca doesn't know either. But she asked Rebecca, "What do you mean?" And the first week gospel meeting Rebecca conducted was to Mrs. Johnson at the desk in P4 and Brasheen Primary School. They told me those stories that touched my heart. They were all just little children. But each of them have grown up, some of them a little bit, some of them a bigger bit. And they've all grown in their understanding. And I've written something down, for I don't want to get this wrong. This is important. Here's what I've written down. They've all grown up and now they appreciate this. He died for my sin. God counted his death on the cross as mine. It's like his death was my death and I had died with him. When he was buried, so was I. That's death. I've said goodbye to living a life of sin. When he was buried, so was I. And when he arose, I arose to live a life that would honor him. And that's the meaning. His death, God counted as mine. His burial, as mine. His resurrection, as mine. He died for me, but I died with him. And what I live for is over. And I want to live as God would give me help to honor him. I hope you've got that. That is the crux of it. God says, when you trust my son as your savior, I will credit you with everything my son purchased at Calvary's cross through his death. His death for sin and his sin bearing, and his burial and his resurrection. That's why I'm going to heaven. Because I'm not going to take time tonight, but I could tell you my story. And it's a story of a little boy too. It's precious to each one. That's how it was for them. Each one of them for themselves. And only God knew. I'm nearly finished. This is taking longer than I anticipated. I'm nearly finished. But the Lord Jesus requests them to carry out, each one of them as individuals. He requests them to carry out a visible act to show what happened so that others can see. They learned from the Bible. They learned from Bible teachers. They learned what the Bible says about baptism. Anna says she's been thinking about it for more than a year, and she talked to Daddy and Mummy. When she made it known, she told her friend Naomi Blair, and she thought, I would like to do that too. It was made known, it was announced in here actually, and Rosie heard about it and thought, I've wanted to be baptized for years. And her sister was encouraged to do it because she was doing it. And we're very pleased that the four of them are going to be baptized. But if others are going to understand, if you're going to know what it meant that they are identifying with the Lord Jesus in death, burial and resurrection, it's going to have to illustrate that. So we read in Romans chapter 6, buried with him, baptized into his death, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up, we should be raised up to walk in newness of life. We read, planted together in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Something has got to be done that shows what it means. And here we have, in the example we read in Acts chapter 8, they went down, both of them, into the water together, and he baptized them. And so this illustrates, I hope you've got it, this illustrates that something happened inside only God saw. This happens outside, and everyone can see. Baptized into his death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead, so we should walk in newness of life, planted and raised up. But why do it? Why bother? I'm finished. But I like this bit. Why bother? Why do it? Salvation forgives my sin. Salvation will take me to heaven. Why get baptized? I'll tell you why. Because he said it. Before he left, he had his few disciples around. The Lord Jesus, that is. I mean before he left for heaven. Calvary was over. He was alive. He had met his own. Before he left, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. You know why I did it? I did it because I love him. I did it because he asked me to. I did it because I knew it would please him. I can't give you any better reason. But remember the wee verse that I read to the friends. Whatsoever he saith unto you. No, no, it's not what's traditional. It's not what some boy's fancy idea is. The Bible says, whatever he saith unto you, do it. I'm going to go down in there in a minute or two. And I hope these dear friends' hearts will be thrilled for the fact that they're doing something that pleases the one who loved them and died for them. And I can assure them, God is honored because you have agreed to do what he asked you to do. Apologies for the length. I hope you've understood. God bless all.